everybody, and welcome to this week's NPL show. Loads of interviews coming up on this week's show. In a second, we're going to be once again talking the lie of the land with regards to the FA, null and voiding, promotion, relegation and all that palaver, as we'll be joined by North East Non-League football reporter Mr. Mark Carruthers will be joining us. We're also going to be talking a bit about stuff away from football and what football clubs are doing for their communities on this week's show. We're going to be hearing from South Shields, FC United, Ashton United and City of Liverpool. They'll all be coming on this week's show to talk about the excellent work they're doing within their communities. And we're also going to be talking about keeping football fans engaged, as we'll be joined by Ryan Batty, co-host of the Nantwich Town podcast. But before that, it is to the breaking news this week. And after a bit of deliberation about what to be done with the season following the suspension of all sporting activities in the country, the FA have finalised the call that was made a couple of weeks ago that the league is to be null and voided. And for more on this, on Friday, I caught up with non-league reporter from the northeast of England. It's a welcome back to the show to Matt Carruthers.
Yeah, obviously that decision came on Thursday night, or the announcement was made on Thursday night after the meeting on Tuesday, I think it was. FA council members were invited to vote via email, I think it was done. And they chose to ratify the FA's decision that was announced 2 weeks ago now. I think it was 2 weeks ago. Every day is rolling into one at the moment. But so that has brought an end to the season. It has voided the season. And obviously, I think you can see a storm's probably coming. I think there are a number of clubs that are very angry about that. There are a number of clubs that are angry about the way it was communicated as well, and the fact that leagues and clubs found out via social media rather than any official communication. So I don't think we've heard the end of it. I think things are just getting started, and it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here.
We've known this has been coming now for the last 3 weeks, ever since the initial decision. So it's good that they've come to a decision. But like you say, there are going to be rumblings about this. But there would have been whatever decision they came up with, because whichever way you looked, there was always going to be losers out of it.
Well, I think what I've been saying is firstly, I don't envy the FA because for a number of reasons, but mainly because there is no decision they could have given that would have... not that they need to go out and please everyone, but there certainly wasn't a decision where everyone would have been on board with it. You know, if it had been points per game, there would have been clubs relegated based on that, which would have been unfair, clubs that would have slipped into the relegation zone. Points per game really doesn't take into account the fact that clubs have strengthened throughout the season. So that, you know, naturally their points per game average would be better later in the season. There's a whole load of scenarios where points per game wouldn't have worked. Personally, if I'm being honest, and I don't know if this is possibly a question you were going to ask, I may well have just tried to follow the league of the lead of the National League and worked from them. I think it is unfair that one of the comments that I've had thrown at me recently is the fact that it feels like we're in two different pyramids now. Mm. And I think the fact that the National League, the National League North and National League South are now deciding what they want to do, whereas what's gone on below is very different, just seems a little bit unfair to me, and that would make me question the integrity of the non-league pyramid now. And I know I'm not the only one who is.
No, that's been one of the major criticisms, the fact that, you know, step three of non-league is not being treated the same as of step two and one. At time of recording, I mean, that might change
yes,
with the way things are going at the moment, because obviously the National League is beholden to the pro game in a lot of ways at the moment. So forgive us, dear listener, if we're repeating ourselves. But, you know, with the National League, they've got to do what they have to do with regards to the Football League, and the Football League have to do what they've got to do based on the Premier Division. And I suppose this goes back to what you were saying earlier about the integrity of the pyramid. I mean, it has to be one wheel for all, essentially, doesn't it, out of this?
This is what I'm getting at. And do you know, I've spoken to five or six people in the Northeast who've been, their clubs have been directly impacted. So I've got Jeff Thompson in the non-league paper this weekend, the South Shields chairman, speaking. But I've spoken to people from Stockton who were, you know, all but Northern League champions. They were possibly just two wins away from being Northern League champions. There's people in the second tier of the Northern League that have been impacted on it. And everyone says, if this rule had been brought in, if this ruling, the ruling to void the season, had been brought in right the way across the pyramid, then they would accept it. They wouldn't like it because it's still a lost out, but they would have found it more acceptable. And I think that kind of sums it up. yes, they're angry. Yes, they want to go up. There's other clubs up here that I feel for. People like Morpeth, who were on a great run in the Premier Division, and I think would have gone in the playoffs as well. So they've got every right. They haven't actually said that they're against anything yet, which I think, you know, they're sort of just happy to keep going as they are and come back hopefully stronger next season. But I find that the one rule for one for others is just a bit difficult to take. I read Andrew Simpson's Twitter last night, where he put a load of questions towards the FA after reading the statements, and I think he's made some very, very valid points and kind of picked apart a lot of arguments that needed picked apart. It's the whole thing's just frustrating, and again, it goes back to I don't envy the FA because there's literally nothing they could do. And again, I know we've said that four or five times now, but that's the truth. It's a horrible situation, but I just feel they could have maybe looked at the way they communicate and talk to the clubs, just get the clubs on board and see what they wanted to do, what they felt was the best way. That seems to be the biggest frustration from clubs, that they haven't been spoken to.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Would they have come to any... I mean, I think we discussed that with Simo, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Would they have come up with anything different? And I don't think they would have, necessarily. It still would have gone to the same committees to decide.
Yeah, I do get that, but at least those committees could have went in with a bit more knowledge of what the clubs were thinking, what, you know, how they were. Maybe someone at a club could have come up with an idea. I noticed, I think Simo mentioned the rugby one. They've come up with a formula to calculate how the season could be finished fairly. But again, I just think it goes back to the decision didn't need to be made this early. I get it why they have done it, so there's clarity. But I just feel it could have held off and maybe done something a little bit further down the line. Or again, follow the route that the National League or the Premier League and FA are working towards, which is finishing the season at some point when it's safe to do so.
That's where we are at the moment, dear listener. I've been saying, you know, making jokes about clarity and that kind of thing. But as Mark rightly points out, that is the final decision now. And join us later at some point when we get to finally kick off the new season, because it is gonna rumble on. And with that regard, you mentioned earlier you've got Jeff Thompson on in the non-league paper this week.
Yeah, I spoke to him very soon after the decision came out on Thursday night. He was very, I would say, restrained in what he was saying. He indicated that the sort of three leading clubs in this scenario were taking legal advice today on Friday. So we'll see where that goes from there. As I say, I don't think we've heard the end of it. Unique's probably not the right word, but it's such a different situation for everyone to be in. You know, football will return when it's safe to do so. And I think Jeff's point is that he just wants it to return in the fairest possible manner. But I'm fairly certain that if the club has to start again in the Premier Division next season, as Morpeth will and FC United and all those clubs, they'll be more than willing to give it a good go again, because it was a fantastic season that we've just had, right the way across the Premier and the other divisions.
And that it goes back to the last time we actually spoke, Matt, which was actually in person, face-to-face.
Yes, yes,
it was. That last game, FC United at South Shields, did feel like the kind of season finale and the title decider in a lot of ways, because it was a bit of a full stop from South Shields, wasn't it? And I suppose that's where they're coming from. But as we've covered before, you can make the case for South Shields or even, you know, more like Vauxhall Motors, who actually won their league officially. But then you look at the South East Division between Stamford and Leek Town. And you know, it's only 2 points. They have to be universal, and there has to be a line drawn somewhere, I suppose, which is, I suppose, the argument the FA would make. But yeah, well, as we've said, Mark, it's a unique situation, and unprecedented has been used a lot. And as Simo rightly said, in this case, it's probably true, isn't it?
So, absolutely. So, and you know, fingers crossed, we never have to come across this bridge again, because it's not just from a sporting point of view or anything like that, but from a, you know, the health and safety of everyone around the country is paramount. And that's what everyone I speak to is saying. You know, yes, we appreciate football's important, but what's more important is how people are coping with what's going on, because it's a very unpleasant situation. It's a very a difficult situation as well. So people are putting that first, but they are trying to look after the clubs as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with that regard, I mean, it has, at least it's given us something to be distracted about with it all, that's for sure. And like I touched upon, I mean, the non-league paper has been doing a cracking job, really, in recent weeks. But it's going to have a good interview in there from yourself.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is I think Matt Badcock and the guys at the non-league paper deserve a hell of a lot of credit for what they've done the last few weeks, because they had the rug pulled from underneath them as well, didn't they, with the games being postponed and then voided. So they had to suddenly try and fill a lot of pages with not a lot to talk about except what's happening with the FA. So I think they deserve a hell of a lot of credit. But yeah, that interview with Jeff Thompson should be in this weekend's non-league paper. It's an interesting one. As I say, he's quite reserved in some aspects, not so much in others. Go out and buy one stay in and buy one, get one delivered instead of going out. And just get buying the non-league paper, because it's a very special paper, I think. It's very unique and does a great job for the non-league scene.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining us on this week's show. And you can follow Mark on Twitter. That's at @MarkCarruthers_. Let's stick with the North East now. A lot of football clubs are stepping up to the plate to help with regards to keeping people active in their communities, keeping people engaged, and also supporting those most in need as well at this worrying time. Shortly, we're going to be hearing from FC United about what they're doing with their stadium to help support their community. We're also going to be talking to City of Liverpool and to Ashton United. But before that, it's to South Shields. And on Friday, I caught up with their captain. Here's John Shaw. John, a big thank you for joining us. And, at the moment, there are more important things than football to talk about. We will talk about football, but volunteering at the local food bank, tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah, well, obviously, when the season, disappeared and, we were still trying to think of things to do to keep ourselves engaged, but also to try and get ourselves, how do we utilise the time as much as we can? And, we're a community-based club. They've been fantastic for us. You know, I'm sure everybody talks about it around the leagues, about how when we turn up on their doorstep, we often bring quite a big following. And if you ever come to Mariners, it's a fantastic atmosphere with usually quite a big fan base. You know, we average quite a lot of supporters. So we're a community-based football club. And then, so when we're obviously starting to do these things and start to throw ideas around, we also like to try and do our bit to put things back into the community. You know, we've got a fantastic foundation that run as well. So how do we use our time? So we kind of went out there, asked who needed help, where could we help and what could we do? And, you know, the local food banks and the local homeless places and shelters and things obviously got in touch, and we tried to lend a hand as soon as we could. So, yeah, it just came about that it was two people throwing a few ideas. How can we do what, you know, how can we help the community? And it was one that obviously stuck out, and we were all happy to commit to do. It just involved, you know, to be fair, I was kind of like the driver and hands, really. I drove the minibus around and loaded it up and then unloaded it at the far end. And then again, it's just asking how can we lend a hand and help out wherever possible and whenever possible.
That's where we find ourselves at the moment. I mean, sports clubs are stepping up all over the country, not just in football, but you know, in rugby and that kind of thing as well. So vitally important, this level of volunteering at this, where we find ourselves at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I start my days currently by picking up the phone to supporters, some of our older supporters, I would say. So we, you know, again, our media man, Dan Prince, he's fantastic at looking into things like this. And, you know, there was a bit of a chat between himself, the staff, the chairman and things about, like, how can we help? And there's a lot of, you know, elderly people that are, you know, locked away. The country of, and rightly so, you know, for their health and for their safety. There's a lot of people now that aren't allowed to leave their homes for anything more than a couple of minutes walk and stay away from everybody, which can be and probably will be quite detrimental to a lot of people's mental health just as much as their physical health. So, again, it's really important that everybody gets around each other. So, again, I've got a list of people from the football club, probably age ranging between, I don't know, late 50s up to somebody I talked to was 82 the other day. Pick up the phone, have a chat with them, ask how they're doing, if they need any help. You know, now they've all got my mobile number, so they can all give me a call and I can come round or I can bring them something, do whatever we can. It's just, It is. It's just. It's really good to see that other clubs and other sports and everybody. But this is what we know. We know that these kind of situations, they do bring out the worst in some people, but the majority of the time they bring out the best in a lot. And sports clubs, you know, especially football, takes a lot of stick for certain things that it does over the years and certain things players have done. And what we're seeing now is obviously a real good community and spirit between, you know, over the nation, really.
And hopefully, you know, what one thing that comes out of this, other than the fact that how interconnected we all are as a society, is just how important sports clubs are to their communities, as proven here. I mean, you're taking the captain thing, though, to a whole new level, the way you're organising all this. But I suppose that's what you have to do at this stage, don't you? People have to step up.
Yeah, and that, well, again, whether I was captain or not, you know, we've got people in the football club who you wouldn't even know the name of, and the amount of time they spend trying to come up with things like this, trying to reach out, it's almost, I always say my bit's the easy bit. You know, there'll be some people that's really struggle to get themselves out, to get themselves helping people, or to get themselves in a position to help. I go out there and play football and people look up to me and people, you know, shake my hand and people want to have photos with me and have the you know, something signed. And that's the easy bit, the bit where people, you know, want to watch you play. The bit that people don't see or people, you know, worry about is, again, it's all these other people. These people that are stood on the terraces, they go out in the cold weather, they come out and watch us, they travel down to Whitby, all over the country. You know, whenever we get an opportunity to give them something back, that's got to be taken by us and by a club, by, again, like I said, by a society. So, yeah, it's great being, again, you get praised and credited for it, but that's not the point. Like I say, sitting in the morning in my pyjamas, phoning people up for 5-10 minutes, it isn't hard work. But some of the feedback you get and what it does for these people, that's the most important bit, and that they know that they can lean on the football club just as much as we as a football club. We lean on our fans, you know, they make the place tick. We get in 1,800 fans and 3,000 fans into a gate. That does nothing but pay for everything we do. It pays for the players, it pays for the staff. It gets us, obviously, the nationwide press that serves our football club. So me turning around and picking the phone up for 10 minutes in the morning, I don't find that really hard to do.
And you mentioned the fans turning out in force. I mean, we do have to touch upon the football. And what an occasion. I mean, I was there, as you can hear from my accent, I might have an FC United persuasion. What an occasion that was. And if you know, it transpired that was the full stop to the season. It was a superb game of football to watch.
Yeah, I've touched on it today a little bit with the people that I've talked to, that if that's going to be people's last memory of this season, you know, what a great way to go out. You know, it was a fantastic game of football, a giant amount of supporters from different clubs all inside the building watching, a real good advert for the Standard, as well as not just our football club, you know, for FC as well. They played their part in a fantastic game of football. And yeah, it's bittersweet that we played the game of our season at the point where we needed it as a football club. You know, we had a bit of a stumble and a wobble, and FC and base had put us under a lot of pressure, and we just started to put a real good run together, culminised by the performance against FC. 12 points clear, 9 games left, a little bit of pressure off our shoulders, and the season suddenly gets wrapped in. But no, listen, if that's the final, well, which it is now, it's obviously shown to be the final act of this season. Those supporters that were there from every club, they'll have gone away with a real good experience, which is what we aim to do. I know you've talked to our manager in the past, Lee and Graham and people like that, and we, you know, we're dedicated to putting on an entertaining brand of football just as much as we are winning. So what a perfect day to finish on.
Yes, absolutely. And well, the last captain I spoke to us in South Shields was the great Julio Arca, of course. I mean, you've taken that captain's armband. I mean, we've had the final decision from the FA from their point of view. Obviously, there's other avenues that this story might go down. From my point of view, following this, I mean, it'd be a shame if the player records were null and voided as well. I mean, that's the thing that sticks in my thoughts a lot more than, you know, silverware or promotions or that kind of thing. What's your take on the playing record side? Would you like something to be done about that?
Well, I think clubs will do it themselves. I think if you're the kind of person that's a statistician and you buy an almanac in 20 years, delete. You know, some people like stats, and what you'll find is people will have this little asterisk next to their name where this season was expunged. What I will say is the football clubs, ours included, I'm sure, this season will go down in our record books for the players. If I was, again, from a personal point of view, I'm 36, I'm 37 in November, I'm running out of games. And I am going to be counting every game, every goal, every minute of this season when it comes to the end of my career, and I'll be putting it on there. So whether the FA or the Northern Premier League or whoever makes these decisions chooses to kick the lads in the teeth one more time, that is entirely up to them. What I will say is you know, we've got goal scorers a little bit like FC, and in Sunday we've got Jason Gilchrist, who I'm sure he's not going to be turning around in 5-10 years' time and say, oh, I didn't score any goals that year. I'm sure he'll be turning around and saying, I scored 20+, and I'll back him up. So it would be just one more giant kick in the teeth, which, like I say, they'll make the decisions they make. We've seen over the last couple of weeks that no matter what gets said, especially around our level of football, it falls on deaf ears. So we could put a case towards them and they'll still do what they want to do. But from a club point of view, I hope and I'm sure that every club, every player, I mean, listen, we're never going to forget this season anyway, just purely down to the nature in which it's going to finish. But I hope that everybody, every club, every player, put these stats on your CV, put whatever you did on your CV. Yes, we're not going to be able to put that we won the league on our CVs or that we potentially were going to win the league on our CVs. That's been taken away from us. But the amount of games we've played, the goals that we've scored, they'll all be down in the record books, I'm sure.
John Shaw there, captain of South Shields, joining us here on the NPL show. And to keep abreast of all the great work that South Shields are doing, you can follow them on Twitter. That's at SSFC Foundation. And a big thank you to John for joining us on this week's show. Let's talk now about the team who finished second in the league table, FC United. They're also helping their community during this pandemic, and they've opened up their stadium to assist in assembling and delivering free supplies across North Manchester. And for more on this, I caught up with FC United board member Adrian Seddon on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, so obviously our stadium's now shut, so, you know, along with all other sort of leisure centres and sports clubs. What do you do with a stadium that's shut? And then we heard that, through one of the staff members, Vinnie Thompson, approached us and said that there was a need to distribute food packages in the local area. There were some elderly people especially, but also vulnerable people that weren't able to get out to the shops, you know, now the new government advice. And basically, could we use Broadhurst Park as a hub for distributing in the local area? So once the logistics were sorted out, that's obviously a fantastic thing for our club to do. It was, you know, the right thing to do at this time.
And just to give everyone an idea, I mean, I've seen the photographs. I mean, it's quite a decent sized operation, this. So that all that space is required.
Yeah. So what we've done. So clearly, as a club, we've given for people who might know our club, who've been to our club, the SMRE space underneath the main terrace. There's a big space where people can, where you can put food, and obviously it's big enough that people could be spaced at distance, that, you know, there's no close contact between people. So we've given that up as a hub. Any of our staff members who are working at doing it as volunteers, we've got together with the North Manchester Business Network. And together we've obviously applied for some grants, things like that. And we're now in a position where we're providing food parcels twice a week to the local area. We're up to 38 that we're going to be supplying, we think, throughout this crisis, because they can't go out. And we're also taking referrals from social workers, from Manchester City Council and other charities for emergency packages. So we're averaging about 10 emergency packages on any one run. These are people, for instance, just this week I've been told we had an 82-year-old local lady whose son lives nearby, and the son had been delivering essential food to her, but the son's now showing some symptoms, so he's having to self-isolate, so she's lost her support, and we'll step in for the 14 days or whatever it takes until her son is up and running again, and then he can take that over again. And so we've got 38 regulars, which is going up all the time. I mean, that will probably go up a lot more as this progresses. And then we're taking the referrals for emergency cases, which might be for a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, until whatever their current situation is resolved, or people that had to isolate themselves because they've got symptoms for a few weeks, but then they'll recover and then they'll be able to go back to the shops themselves again.
I mean, it's quite an operation that's being run here, isn't it? I mean, it's I don't know how to word this question, really. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, it's so vitally, vitally important that it's come to this, that the SMRE is being used this way.
Yeah, well, it was always, you know, designed as a space that could be used by the community. So now, we're using it for the community. It's great. As I say, we've applied for grants. We managed to get some grants for suppliers. But we've also contacted our regular suppliers, you know, the people who supply the ground on a match day with produce. And a lot of our suppliers have come on board. One supplier alone, I've been told, has supplies us with 116 kilos a week of food and 40 kilos of fresh fruit. So you know, suppliers have come on board. And we've applied for grants. We've got volunteers. Everything's been done by volunteers. Some of them are local residents. Vinny told me that as he was distributing food this week, someone pulled up and said, someone was walking past and said, "I've just been furloughed. I've got a white van. If you want me to distribute, just tell me what to do." You know, so the local population are getting involved as well, which is brilliant. It's really something that I think we can be proud of. I'm certainly proud of everyone that's getting involved with this.
I feel like I should be naming some of these charities involved. I mean, there's, you know, Fair Share and Buzz Manchester and the We Love Manchester charity, as well as, I'm going to name them for you, Grandad Sausages, Holland's Pies, Vimto, Master Moves and HMG Paints Limited, all helping out and looking for more support as well, possibly, Adrian?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if there's any... anybody out there who, you know, a supplier who's got the right sort of materials for, you know, food or things. It's not just, you know, it's not just food. I mean, I think at this time when people are often isolating on their own, especially the elderly, there's mental health issues. So we're trying to, we're putting quiz packs into the with the food. We're putting newspapers, so we're picking up the Metro and putting that in for them. We're putting in recipes that work with some of the foods that we're distributing. You know, stuff. It's not just food. It's about keeping people going when they're having to spend day upon day at home. If anyone wants to get involved, then probably the best thing to do is to email probably the club. If I give my email address, I can then pass it on to Vinny, which is adrian7@fc/utd.co.uk.
Well, obviously, like I've said numerous times during this crisis, there's obviously more important things to talk about than football, as you've just proven in the last 5 minutes, Adrian. I mean, it's superb stuff from everyone involved. But, you know, we started the show talking about the FA's confirmation of the announcement about nulling and voiding of Step 3 and below. FC United were pretty quick, I think, in saying before this was all ratified that whatever the decision, they were going to accept it. So just your general take on where we find ourselves at the moment in non-league.
I think there's no surprise that it's been ratified. The call to null and void the season came from the various committees involved in running the leagues. So it wasn't an FA decision. The FA were responding to what the leagues were saying. Clearly, there's a difference of opinion amongst the leagues. There was a difference of opinion, a very strong difference of opinion amongst the clubs. And I think, you know, everyone recognised that whatever the decision, there was going to be a whole set of clubs that were going to be very upset by it. As a club, we made no secret of the fact that we would have preferred average points per game, which we feel would have got us promoted because we would have been second place in the league on average points per game. But we recognise that there's reasons for that and there's reasons against it, and there's probably as many reasons for null and void as there is for average points per game. We recognise that if you do one way of ending the league, you get one set of clubs upset. If you do the other way, you get another set of clubs upset. I think there is no right answer. So we won't, as I've said before, we won't ask our opinion. Had we been asked, we would have given it. But we recognise that the leagues had an impossible, or the FA, the leagues had an impossible decision to make. and they've made it now, and we're disappointed. Of course we are. We're disappointed that our men's team are in second place in the league. Our women's team have lost one match in 2 years and stay in the same division for the third year running. But there you go. There's more important things in life, and we'll go again next year, and we look forward to going again next year.
And that's the key in all this. It feels a bit of now that the decision's been final. Obviously, there'll be a few clubs who you know explore other ways of turning the decision around. But the immediate priority for the vast majority of non-league clubs now is get into next season. And you know, with a loss of income that we've seen, an unprecedented loss of income for a lot of sides. I mean, how does FC United shape up heading into the close season now?
Yeah, I think one thing just to add to that as well, you know, it's not just the uncertainty. I think a lot of clubs at our level, probably most clubs of our level, have furloughed staff. I mean, we've had to. You know, when you rely on match income and you rely on selling your function room for events, when you've not got any TV money to come in or very limited sponsorship money, then the money you bring in from the general public, from the supporters, from the local community that use your facility, that there's all your money. So we've had to furlough staff. And therefore, you know, how are we going to navigate the... There was talk about extending registrations into the summer, into the autumn. I mean, it'd be, you know, our staff are furloughed. They're not able to do that sort of thing. So, you know, the uncertainty is over now. We know where we stand, which is important for planning. The difficulty now is we don't know when we go again. You know, whereas FC, we've taken the decision to plan on a September resumption. We're still hoping that will be the case, but it could go on for longer. And the longer it goes on, the more difficult it gets. Having said that, you know, what we're doing at the moment is, you know, you've got a lot of issues. There's initiatives that are helping us, for instance, the government furloughing scheme, you know, that pays 80% of the salaries. But you've got to pay those salaries. You've got to pay March, April, May, probably before you get any sort of money back from HMRC. So you've got to find all your salaries for 3 months to pay. And then hopefully we'll get the money, the 80% back from the government at a later date. But for cash flow, that puts a huge challenge. So, I mean, what we've done is we've put season tickets on sale. Even though there's no confirmed start date for next season, our fans have been absolutely brilliant. I mean, I was looking before I came onto here at the latest figures, and we've sold 294 season tickets and 10 match ticket books for next year. So that's a great response from supporters who don't know when they're actually going to be able to make use of them, because we don't know if it's going to be late summer, early autumn or even into the winter before we start again. So that will help us with the immediate cash flow issues. But clearly, you're using next year's money on the current, which is not a good situation to be in. And we're going to take advantage of you know, the options we have for some grants and some government schemes, like all other businesses, to help get us through this. Because for us, you know, we're going to lose over £100,000. So it's now a question of the immediate. How do we get through the summer with the bills we have to pay? And then how much of that £100,000 can we get back so that, you know, we don't lose out completely?
FC United board member Adrian Seddon there speaking to us here on the NPL show. And you can follow FC United on Twitter. That's FC United MCR. So FC United, they're doing some brilliant stuff at Broadhurst Park with their facilities. Let's touch upon another club doing some excellent work as well in their community, City of Liverpool. They've been busy distributing food throughout their community through their Purple Pantry Food Union. And for more on this, on Friday, I caught up with Mike Meadows, club media manager at City of Liverpool.
Well, the Purple Pantry was initially set up as a food union. And it's a way of our club to reach out into our community and to be able to provide accessible food to the community for people who are reliant on that kind of thing. You know, it's really important to us that we provide food to people who need it most. So that was originally something that was set up, you know, quite a little bit before the unfortunate issues that we've got at the moment with the coronavirus outbreak. But as a club, we, you know, as soon as it became clear to us that the football season was going to end and wouldn't be completed, and rightly so, you know, we felt compelled to channel all of our efforts and channel our volunteer workforce into looking at helping the people in our community who are most at risk and most likely to be hit by the coronavirus outbreak. And so with that in mind, we decided to use the Purple Pantry and kind of adjust how we work, really, to provide, you know, essential food items. food packages to be delivered directly to people who would need it most.
And that's the most concerning thing is the fact that the Purple Pantry was needed in the first place, obviously. But the fact that it's so vitally needed now as well. I mean, how's that step up been for? Because there's a lot more people using it now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, as you say, in this day and age, and with the years of austerity and everything that's been going on, around the country, and particularly, obviously, we've seen it ourselves in Liverpool and the area which we exist in, you know, before this club even formed. And it is a sad state of affairs when people have got to, you know, to turn to a food union or turn to a food bank. You know, we've got many food banks in the city as well. And, you know, it is unfortunate that, and it's a crying shame that people have got to resort to that. Unfortunately, all of these organisations, they are run by volunteers. It's something that we rely on the goodwill of our community. And there's a great deal of goodwill in our city as well, not just within our own fan base. So, thankfully, you know, we have got a dedicated matchday volunteer core group, and we've got a dedicated fan base as well who may not be able to get out and do the deliveries or to patch things, to patch the bags together. But they have been, you know, really resolute in providing whatever financial support they can do, or to, you know, to encourage people or let us know people in their community who need the help. So it's not just a case of going out and doing the parcels and delivering them, but it's also, you know, getting the food to the parcel, you know, getting the food together for the parcels. You know, it's also, you know, getting the financial support to, you know, to build this up as well. It's getting the it's making the club aware of people who need this most, really, because if we don't know about the people who need them, then unfortunately, you know, we can't get it to them.
I said to you off air when, because I used to present the Supporters Direct podcast, and I spoke to Paul, the chairman, when City Liverpool was first muted. And you've come a long way since that stage, obviously. And we're speaking now as the NPL show with yourselves in step four. But as a community entity, you know, you were doing so much with junior football, with walking football. There's a women's section too. I know you were doing work with refugees and supporting mental health. How easy has it been to, because obviously all that's had to be put to one side due to the position we find ourselves in as a country. So how difficult has it been to reassign people to doing this essential work with the Purple Pantry?
I mean, thankfully it hasn't been too difficult, because the fundamental thing about our club is that, you know, people, they love the club, they care about the club, and most importantly, they care about our community. That's been the case of the club since it started. It's what got me involved with it. You know, when I first, you know, came to get involved as a fan, before I even got involved with Cardiff City Community. As you say, you know, we have had to see some of our core activities from the community arm of the club. You know, the refugee football in particular has been, it's really hard for us to stop, but it's fundamentally important that we did stop it, because the safety of the people which the people who are taking part in our activities on a match day, and the fans and the players, but also the people who really, you know, fundamentally need our support in terms of the kids, for the football, for the refugees, for the people who come to our mental health sessions. You know, their lives and their health and well-being is our fundamental and, you know, our most important concern at this moment in time, which is kind of, you know, ties us into why we got involved with doing this work in the community in the first place, with getting the food parcels out. So we're grateful to our volunteers who've been, you know, so kind and generous with their time to put their hands up and say, look, I want to help out with this, and I want to get out there and I want to help people. So it's been really good that people have said, well, you know, quite a lot of our supporters might have been furloughed, so they've got time on their hands. And the first thing that they've said to us is, how can I help? And I think that's brilliant about our fan base. It's brilliant about our club, you know, itself, because, you know, obviously for many football clubs at this time, it's very difficult to make ends meet, and it's very difficult, you know, for them. We've seen, you know, on Twitter, we've seen all over the football press that a lot of clubs, might struggle to function because of the loss of income and stuff. But the financial impact, it isn't our primary concern. You know, as a club, we represent people and communities, and it's fundamentally important for us that if we really want to represent the city and represent our supporter group, then we've got to be a force for good in a time like this. And I think that's the thing that we've really held on to, really.
That takes me to the next thing I have to talk about, which is the Easter eggs, because obviously I think everyone saw the New Zealand Prime Minister, you know, saying that really lovely thing about the Easter bunny being on lockdown and that kind of thing. But that's not the case in Liverpool, that's for sure.
No, not at all. Thankfully, the Easter Bunny, has been designated as an essential worker, and that's been seen by our volunteers going out into the community. So we're really grateful, for all of the donations that we've had. We've had great support from our primary club sponsors, the Regenda Group and Kev Short, who's our point of contact there. Is the Aldi on Walton Road and NatWest in Wavertree have come together and have helped us to get all these items together. And it was really nice for us to be able to still get Easter eggs out to kids and stuff, because we have got a lot of kids who come to our club on a match day. We've got a lot of kids who also represent our junior teams. So obviously it's a difficult time for kids, in particular, who might not know or understand, might not be old enough to understand, the exact reasons why we are all stuck indoors and thinking they've got time off school, but they can't go and see their friends and stuff. So if these Easter eggs can put a smile on some kiddies' faces, then it's something that the club's really keen to do. And thankfully, we've been able to reach out to loads of kids and get those out to them so that they can have a nice chocolate treat on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, it's really lovely that. And Mike, just a final thought, really. I mean, there's lots of great work going on at the moment with City Liverpool FC. What's coming next, and is there any way people can get involved or help support it?
Yeah, by all means. Well, first of all, there's no rush from our point of view at all to resume any football activities or to resume anything in terms of our community football sessions. As I said before, it's really important for us to make sure that when we do resume it, it's safe. And it's safe for all of our service users to resume in absolute fullness. So obviously, when the time is right, we'll be resuming with our refugee football sessions. We've got those every Sunday in Everton Park, and then running concurrently with those of a Sunday as well. We've also got our mental health football activities, which is like a get fit football session. It started off as walking football, but everyone ran, so that didn't really work out. So we've got all those sessions running along as well. On the match day as well, when the next season does start, we'll be looking forward to diving back into adjusting to life in the Northern Premier League and everything that comes with that as well. So anyone who wants to get involved in the club, you can follow at City of Elpool FC on Twitter and Carl FC Community. If you just drop us a message, there's myself, Mike Meadows, and our founder and our head honcho, Sean Lindblad, who runs all of the community activities, will be happy to get in contact and field any queries anyone's got. And if anyone wants to get involved, just drop us a line and we'll get back to you whenever we can.
And also, we should say, on the City Liverpool FC in the community Twitter feed, the pinned tweet is the GoFundMe page for the Purple Pantry, and all donations welcomed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, from our perspective, first and foremost, we just want to say thanks to everyone who's got involved with that and has helped to fund our activities in the community, because we've raised over £2,000 now, and it's been amazing. There's loads of people who've got involved, loads of people who've shared it, and without the financial support of the generosity of our amazing city and our amazing supporters, this wouldn't have been possible. So particularly with the Regenda Group and everyone else who's from Aldi and NatWest who've got involved and helped us, and our volunteers, to get all that together for that crowdfunder as well, it's been really inspiring for us to help and to get that support involved for ourselves.
Mike Meadows there from City of Liverpool joining us here on the NPL show. And it's not just City of Liverpool who are doing some brilliant stuff in their community. Let's talk about Ashton United now, and new deputy leader of the Labour Party and local MP Angela Rayner has praised Ashton United for their part that they're playing during this lockdown within their community. Ashton United have partnered up with other local charities to offer a helpline to support people who might be struggling during this lockdown. And for more on this, on Friday, I caught up with trustee at Ashton United in the community. Here's Steve Hobson. Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. And another football club doing some excellent, excellent work here. Tell us a bit more about the Small Shawhurst Community Action Group and what it's doing at the moment.
Yeah, Small Shawhurst Community Action Group, it's a coming together of a number of charities in the vicinity of our club, Ashton United. It involves the local Save the Children Fund people, Ashton United and the community, a local church and the local community association. And what we're doing, we're using the pool in all our resources to try and provide a call centre, if you will, for local people. So if they've got a problem, they can call our team and we'll see what we can do to resolve that problem.
And when it comes to the support there, I mean, obviously it's a helpline that's being provided. How many calls are we talking about here? That and how many people are we talking to who are accessing this support at the moment?
Well, we only launched it yesterday. We've been working on it for the last 2 weeks to get, because one of the problems has been the GDPR regulations, safeguarding. So it's all that to sort out. But on the first day, I think we've had 60 people signed up to it. You know, in just a few hours, as volunteers or people who might want some help.
What we're talking about here, with regards to help, the thing that stuck out for me as a parent is the activity packs for children and families as well, because the most obvious people in need at the moment are the elderly and the vulnerable, who are most susceptible to this horrible disease. But there's obviously parents as well who are having to homeschool children and that side of things. So that's important,
yeah,
too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you can imagine being at home with your kids and you're not used to that. You'd be crawling up, the kids would be crawling up the wall. You know, I've got triplets personally, but I mean, fortunately 29 years of age.
Good news.
I can't imagine what it would have been like if we'd have been kids and we cooped up with them in the house. It would have been murder. So what we're trying to do is get something that will, you know, keep the kids amused in the house. We've also set up a Facebook page as well. So what we're trying to do is, on a daily basis or maybe a couple of times a day, put something on the Facebook page so that people can actually access that and they'll get some ideas from it. So one of the issues we do have, though, of course, is with the area being so poor, people haven't got access to IT. So, you know, where a lot of people take the internet and accessing web pages for granted, a lot of our local people can't do that. So we're having to provide practical solutions in terms of things like colouring books, quizzes, you know, these Sudoku type things, just to keep them amused.
And the other thing as well is, because of the lack of internet, there's going to be people who don't listen to this podcast. I mean, there's people who've got the internet who don't listen to this podcast, obviously. But yeah. But you know, you're going to have to use that old school method as well of notifying people out there, yeah, about what's available.
Yeah. Well, we'll do things like, because I mean, it's quite in the close knit community anyway, so often you find out that the group of people that we've joined with, which is a church, a local community association, and Save the Children Fund locally, they've got a good understanding and a good knowledge of what the need is in and around us. So what we'll try and do is raise funds as much as we can to try and support the local community.
And when it comes to why this support is needed at this moment in time, I mean, football clubs and sporting clubs more generally, I mean, we've spoke to FC United and South Shields on this week's show. How vital is this work that's being done here? And what does it say about Ashton United that it's being done?
Yeah, well, we're deep-rooted our community. We've been here for 140 years. So, you know, we are the community. We're the central to it. And I think at this time, football goes out the window. You know, we've obviously got to keep an eye on our club, making sure it survives. But we're in perhaps a stronger position than most, because we've got two new owners came in. And they are local people who are very supportive of the football club financially. So really now it's about taking our focus away from the football club and focusing on our local community.
And with that regard, Steve, final question really about how people can get more involved in this, and you know what's your hopes for, because this crisis will go on for a few more weeks yet, that's for sure. So what's your expectations about the level of support and that kind of thing for the Hurst area?
Well, we expect this level of support to be going on for 12 months or more, to be honest. Obviously, things are going to change regarding people being isolated or not. But we, as I said, we live in an area that we operate from, areas where it's real poverty. So people are going to need our support in the long term. So we are here for the long term, this little group. And I don't know what we're going to need moving forward. It's important that we find out what people need and give it to them, rather than us decide you're having this or you're having that.
So if you know someone in the Hurst area or you're listening and you need assistance with anything, how could people get in touch, Steve?
Well, if you've got access to the internet, then you can actually contact the Search for Small Shawhurst Community Action Group. Or we have a telephone number that people can ring,
That's 07523 919185. That's our community manager from Ashton United in the community. He'll take calls and then signpost you to wherever to try and resolve any issues that you might have.
Steve Hobson there from Ashton United in the community. And look up Small Shawhurst Community Action Group on Facebook for more information. That's nearly it for this week's MPL show, but there's just enough time for one final interview, and that surrounds Nantwich Town and their podcast. It's now moved to a weekly show to keep in touch with their supporters. And for more on this, on Friday, I caught up with co-host of the Nantwich Town podcast. Here's Ryan Batty.
Well, yeah, so we've been running the podcast for just under a year now, and over the last couple of months, it's been a monthly thing. And obviously with the suspension of football and more recently the cancellation of football at our level, we're trying to move it into a more weekly thing. Obviously we can do it more frequently via Skype because we used to do it in person. So via Skype and various methods, we can do it more frequently now. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been sort of putting together a couple of plans in place, and we recorded an episode last week of the Nantwich Town podcast, and then again today we've recorded another episode of the podcast. So we're trying to roll things out in a weekly basis now to sort of keep the fans in touch, because I think there is a lot of the responsibility of media teams in our league is to keep the supporters regularly in touch. And I think there's some of it has been lost, I think, especially and obviously it's no fault of anyone's in light of the recent situation, but I think there is a responsibility for non-league sort of media teams to keep their supporters in touch, and even if that is just sort of a personal sort of podcast through what we sort of do with the Nantwich Town podcast, I think that's it's an excellent way to keep supporters engaged and to keep supporters in touch with both their views themselves and with our views as well, because we do make a note in every podcast that it is the opinions of ourselves and not the club itself. So it is a nice way to keep in touch with myself as a press officer and with our radio commentary team through the man I presented with, Murray Watson. So yeah, it is a nice way to keep the supporters in touch, and hopefully through the cancellation of football, obviously a pretty dark note for football in non-league in general, can turn into a bit of a lighter note for the supporters.
I might be biased here because I do present a fair few podcasts, that's for sure, but I do think it's a very good medium of keeping people in touch with the club, because essentially what we're talking about here is a weekly radio show, which in the olden days you'd rely on the local BBC station to do that. You could do it yourself. And how technology-wise, just if you're a chairman listening to this or a club official from another club listening to this, how difficult is this to do, Ryan?
Well, interestingly enough, it's Murray who does all the technical aspects of it. So, but from what I understand, all he does is he has his WordPress account, basically, and you can upload MP3 formats into WordPress. And what we do is we link straight to his website with the podcast in there, but then we can also put it on Twitter. We can put it on Twitter and Facebook, and we also put it on our website under a different page. So we have a little description for each podcast. We record it normally via Audacity. To be honest, if there are any people listening wanting to create their own podcast, you could do it via a voice memos thing on your on the iPhone. To be honest, if it comes to that, over the last couple of weeks, if you are trying to do it with a co-host in another location, you can record conversations on Skype, which is how we've recorded the last two podcasts, which is also a brilliant way to keep it to keep it sort of regular and frequent. So yeah, that's how we've been doing our podcast over the last year or so, and we can always link it back to the Twitter and Facebook and the social media accounts. So we can always keep the fans in touch, and the fans always have really positive things to say about the podcast. So it is a really good way to keep the fans engaged.
Yeah, brilliant. And I should say, Audacity, it's totally free to download. It's one of these free share pieces of software. So just type in Audacity on Google and you'll find it. And as Ryan says, it's a decent program for recording. And there's other, as well as WordPress, there's things like Audio Boom and Podbean and places like that. Yeah. And because people are working at home now, a lot of people, they'll got used to the idea of using Skype or Zoom or what have you. And yeah. It's that easy. You just click record and off you go. And Ryan, what have you got planned for this week's show?
So this week's show, it's probably a bit important that we focus on last week's show as well.
Yeah, good idea. How was last week?
Well, I'm just saying because it leads into this week. So last week we did focus on the league season for Nantwich Town, and we sort of focused on how Nantwich had done in the league and had a little bit of a month-by-month review. This week we've gone on to the cup competitions. We'll have a look at our run to the first round of the FA Cup, a look to our FA Trophy campaign, our League Cup campaign, and of course our Cheshire Senior Cup campaign as we look to make it. Well, we looked to make it three Cheshire Senior Cup wins on the bounce, but unfortunately due to the current situation, that wouldn't be possible. But yeah, we didn't look at the cups today. We also looked at it's actually our manager's birthday today, so we had a little shout out to our manager Dave Cook.
Ryan, can I just interrupt you? Happy birthday, Dave Cook. Happy birthday.
Brilliant fellow to deal with. At the end of each episode, we try to set our listeners some homework. So last week, we just said three-word season reviews, unorthodox season awards. So, for example, today we had best hair or something along those lines. And sort of little questions for the supporters to keep interactive. And then at the next episode, we discuss what the questions have been replied to from the last week. And sort of it's a nice way to sort of the fans so they can keep engaged with the podcast and so they can get their sort of thoughts across. So obviously we had highlight of the season and goal of the seasons and things like that. So it is a nice way to keep the podcast going. So yeah, that's what we focused on today, the cup competitions and some homework from the supporters.
Brilliant stuff. Well, you can find the podcast on at NTFC Podcast or via at the Dabbers Twitter feed, of course. And Ryan, a big thank you for joining us. And you keep up the excellent work and have a lovely Easter. And we'll speak to you very soon, my friend.
Brilliant. And to yourself, mate. I hope everything's well with all the listeners. And brilliant. So, yeah, please, if you are a supporter looking to listen to or create your own podcast, I would recommend listening to ours because, frankly, we do put in a lot of effort, and it is nice to have listeners from other clubs because it is a non-league podcast as well, because we do discuss everything around the league as well. So it isn't just Nantwich Town. But yeah, thank you for having me on there, and have a very happy Easter.
Ryan Batty there from the Nantwich Town podcast, and that's it for this week's NPL show. A big thank you to all our guests this week for joining me. And remember, for all the latest goings-on from the league, please visit the website and please follow the Northern Premier League on Twitter. That's at Northern Prem League. But I've been Ben, and make sure that you all have a safe and happy Easter, and we'll be catching up again next week. You take care. Bye-bye.